Hello, you're with Australia Talks on this Monday on ABC Radio National, Radio Australia and online at abc.net.au/rn. I'm Paul Barclay. I'm sure most of you by now have seen and been shocked by the images from Japan following the enormous earthquake and tsunami. A terrible death toll looms in the wake of the disaster. And Japan also faces a nuclear crisis. There have been explosions and there's concern about reactors melting down. Just to let you know, tomorrow we're taking a look in detail at the ramifications for nuclear power in the wake of Japan's earthquake. You can actually post your comments on that topic right now on our website. Today, though, something much closer to home. Big cuts in the price of home brand milk, bread, eggs and breakfast cereal means at the moment you can save some money off your weekly shopping bill. Farmers say that meat prices will be the next to fall. Makes you wonder how far this price war will go, doesn't it? But while you might be better off at the checkout right now, farmers and small shops claim their livelihoods could be at risk, and the result in the end could be that you're worse off, with less choice and higher prices than before the price war. What do you make of it all? Have you been taking advantage of the cheaper prices? Are you concerned about the fate of farmers and smaller retailers like milk bars? Love to hear what you think. Call now 1300 22 55 76 or post your views online on our comments page. Just search ABC Australia Talks. I'll read some of those comments out as they come through. First of all, though, let me introduce you to Simon Berger, Community Relations Manager at Woolworths, and Frank Zumbo, Associate Professor in Business Law at the University of New South Wales. Simon Berger to you, first of all. Welcome to Australia Talks.
Thank you for having me.
How extensive is this latest round of supermarket price discounting? It's more significant than just the usual cycle of weekly discounts, isn't it?
Well, look, when we opened with a first store in 1924, our founder said that what we do is provide a handy place where good things are cheap. We've always been about value. You're probably noticing it more now for a couple of reasons. We're not in the same inflationary environment. But it is true that about 18 months ago, we embarked on a systematic approach to reduce prices. And we've reduced, last count, 7,253 prices and now cheaper than they were 1 year ago. And that saves customers $664 million.
You're not the only supermarket doing this, of course. You're engaged in a battle with Coles, and obviously the product that's been getting most of the attention is this dollar a litre milk that we'll talk about in some detail throughout the program. Is this essentially a fight over the share of the $80 billion Australian grocery market?
Well, in one sense, it's doing what customers want. Customers want quality, they want range, they want convenience, and they want value. And by running an efficient business, which is how we got to the point of leadership in this market, and Coles, to their credit, are making some incremental improvements. But by running an efficient business, we are investing that in value because that's what our customers will expect. And if we don't deliver it, then Audi or Costco or any one of the specialty shops or Coles or IGA will take our customers from us.
You were a bit late off the mark, though, weren't you, when it came to discounting on the milk?
Yes, and the one proviso I would make is that we absolutely support price reductions, which we started across the board 18 months ago, because we believe that value is about the whole shopping basket and about consistent value over time. We would not have started the milk price war. And the caveat I'd make to saying that price reductions are a good thing, they are a good thing for customers, they're a good thing for families, I think they're a good thing for the country, mm-hmm. provided they're sustainable. To deliver for the customer, you need to be able to have a good supply chain. And that's why we've added our voice to the concerns that farmers have about the milk
yes.
discount. That is not a price war we would have started.
Okay.
But other than that, price discounting is a good thing.
Simon Berger, we'll come back and talk in more detail about milk price discounting later on. But Frank Zumbo, if I can bring you in from the University of Western Australia, surely this is all a good thing for consumers? Two big supermarkets are battling it out with price discounting?
Well, I should say that there are potentially two losers from the so-called price war. Firstly, we've heard about the milk supply chain. There's a real concern that if farmers get screwed down even more at the farm gate price, many more will leave the land, and that will threaten access to fresh milk. And over time, fresh milk may become a luxury item or disappear altogether. We've seen in countries in Europe where the long-life UHT milk has taken over the supermarket shelves. So potentially farmers miss out, but consumers could also miss out. And I think we need to be clear. Yes, there have been price falls in relation to milk and other staple items, but we really have to ask what's happened to all those other thousands of products that are stocked in a supermarket. Mm. For example, Coles have said that they've lowered the price of 5,000 items. We've heard tonight that Woolworths has done the same. But what about the other 15,000 items or more? You may save a few cents here and there on these staple items, but if you're paying more for those 15,000 items or more, you're worse off at the moment.
So the big supermarkets are increasing the prices of their other products in order to subsidise these discounts on the smaller range of products. That's what you're saying.
We just don't know. We have a lack of full price transparency, and even Woolworths, who had a price check website, having gone on there this afternoon, that's currently under review. So apart from information on weekly specials, we don't know what's happening to those other products.
Yes.
Many of those products should be coming down if they're imported because of the strong Aussie dollar. So the lack of full price transparency means we just don't know, and consumers may be worse off.
Simon Berger, you're in this business to make money. Are you subsidising the price cuts to some of these higher profile goods by lifting prices on others?
Absolutely not. We give customers a bit more credit than that. They know what value they're getting. They will be able to see through you if they think that they're being given a sort of sweetener here but being stung somewhere else. And I should point out, just before we go on, that in introducing Professor Zumbo, you introduced him as a professor from the University of Western Australia. It is appropriate to mention that he does have a long association, including as a paid consultant to the National Association of Retail Grocers, which is the lobby group for IGA.
That was many years ago, Simon. I haven't had any dealings with them for 5 years, as I haven't with other people. Now, let's not make this personal. Let's look at the real issue.
You don't. Let's just clarify. Frank Zumbo. Let's just clarify this. You don't have a conflict of interest when you talk about this issue.
No. I consulted for the NAGO years ago, but that's at least 5-6 years that I haven't consulted for them, and I'm at the University of New South Wales.
Okay, no worries.
Roger Corbett, if you had him on, would be a Woolies man, even though he hasn't been at Woolies for 5 years. He did appear before.
Well, he can speak for himself, Simon.
Okay, look, the audience can take all of this with as many grains of salt as they like. Frank Zumbo, let's look specifically at the impact on smaller supermarkets, on corner stores. How likely are they to fare if this becomes a protracted price war? Could some of them go out of business?
Absolutely. Those corner stores, convenience stores, will become collateral damage. And the real fear is that some people rely on those to get their supply of milks, especially in those towns where there isn't a Woolworths or a Coles. So if those convenience stores do go out of business, they're further victims and consumers will suffer as a result.
Simon Berger, will the smaller corner stores, the milk bars, even the smaller grocers be squeezed out as a result of this price war?
That hasn't been what's been happening. There are something like 4,000 convenience stores, something like 22,000 food specialty shops, something like 2,500 independent supermarkets versus 850 Woolies supermarkets. And all of those other categories of stores have been growing and doing quite well over the last decade. But at the end of the day, it's up to customers. It's not up to Professor Zumbo or to me or to you or to any politician or commentator to determine what the right market share is and which customers should shop where. Mm. That's up to customers. And the future trend of retailing will be determined by what customers value. And as long as they value convenience and friendly service and specialty retailing, there'll always be a big place in the mix for specialty shops and convenience shops.
You're on Australia Talks with me, Paul Barclay. Simon Berger from Woolworths, Frank Zumbo from the University of New South Wales. What do you think? Is this price war good for you and your family budget? Or do you worry about the impact on smaller retailers, on farmers, who incidentally we'll talk about in more detail soon. We'll have Jock Laurie from the National Farmers Federation on to address their concerns. 1300 22 55 76. Steve has posted online, the only place where farmers can get a fair go is at the farmers' markets. Shoppers get freshness, long used-by dates, taste and no middlemen, and generally far cheaper. Let's go to Peter on the line in Sydney. Hello, Peter.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I have a problem with the whole milk thing, mm-hmm. and that is that several years ago, the government took 11 cents a litre tax off milk. Now, that was meant to be passed on to the public. The only people that lowered their price was Aldi's. Now, there was a public outcry, and Coles decided they'd do the same, but only for one particular brand, which mm-hmm. is always in the bottom of the shelf.
Mm.
And all of this is the result of competing against Aldi's. Now, the point is they have a different form of marketing. They bring their stuff in and they sell it quickly.
Okay.
But there's one other thing. Pura Milk was Australian. It was very cheap. And then it was allowed to be sold to Indonesia. I think then farmers brought it back. And it's gone up in price. And, of course, if somebody's going to buy a milk company, they're going to get a profit on it. And so this has been artificially pushed up by selling the milk overseas and then rebuying it.
Although, of course, at the moment, Peter, we're talking about milk prices actually being very low. A dollar a litre, in fact. $2 for 2 litres.
But that's only one particular brand.
Yep.
It's not... others should have had the tax lowered, but they haven't.
Sure. OK, no worries. Thanks, Peter, for that. Let's go to Rosie in Mullumbimby. Hello, Rosie.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi.
I just rang because I'm one of the many, many residents of Mullumbimby who was completely against Woolworths setting up shop in our town. We were told all sorts of stories by them, and unfortunately some people actually believed them. They've completely destroyed the look of our town. We've had barricade fences up at the entry point to our town, businesses suffering as a result of people not being able to even access them anymore. They're still under construction, no finish date in sight. I would just warn any consumer who's believing the Woolworths line that they really don't have their customers' best interests at heart. It is all about the bottom line.
We have heard this argument before in Mullaney as well, where there was a similar fight. Just before I let you go quickly, Rosie, isn't this good, though, for consumers? Another retailer, more competition in town, a better deal for consumers?
I don't believe it's a better deal for consumers. If you look at the Woolworths in Byron Bay, it's one of the most expensive grocery stores around because they know they've got the backpacker market and they know that they've got that market cornered. So while we might have better prices to start with, we know they're not going to last.
Okay. Thanks, Rosie. And quickly to Audrey on the south coast of WA. Whereabouts, what's the name of your place, Audrey?
Coachnut.
Great to have you on. Now, you wanted to talk about milk.
Yes, I do. I'm outraged by this low price because I'm sure dairymen are feeling the pinch. We're in drought and it just means that people who work 80 hours a week producing milk and it's being retailed at that price, I buy the more expensive milk no matter what.
Mm.
But I do like buying local milk rather than dairy products that are owned in other states.
Sure.
Than ours.
Yep.
We are seeing Woolworths and Coles eliminate small businesses wherever they set up. And I'm sad. I'm a high street shopper. I like small shops. You know the people, they care. Actually, in our little town, our big shops, everybody knows us. But the thing is that I think it's quite wrong.
Well, look, thanks for your call. And just to take up that issue of milk, farmers have been expressing concern that reduced prices at the retail end will flow back down the supply chain, cutting the prices that they get paid and potentially forcing some farmers into bankruptcy. The National Farmers Federation president is Jock Laurie. He joins us now. Hello, Jock.
Good afternoon.
Let's look at milk, where we've seen the biggest price cuts. Coles has rejected suggestions that its decision to cut prices will hurt farmers. It says that farm gate prices are set by the world price, which has been rising, and it's actually increased its payment to processors supplying the Coles brand milk, so they don't have to pass on the lower price to farmers. Is that correct?
Oh, look, I think if historically you have a look at what's happening in agriculture. When you get pressure applied at one end, it falls out the other end. And in our industry, we're price takers and not price makers, and the pressure comes down through to our industry. So it's been shown for a long period of time that if you get reductions up at the retail sector, they'll end up coming down and prices will drop at the back down on the farm gate. That has happened the history of agriculture in Australia, and will continue to happen in the future.
Simon Berger, if I can come back to you on this, you were expressing some concern about this price war in the area of milk. I think you're agreeing that this will hurt dairy farmers?
It will hurt dairy farmers. The question is by how much, but there are very real concerns that it'll be by a substantial amount. We call ourselves the fresh food people, and that's what we do. We bring customers to the farmers, and we get the best stuff from Australian farms and deliver it efficiently to customers. And we understand that we are in the middle of that, that to deliver for customers, you need to have a good relationship. You need to understand Australian farmers. We get 100%.
But if that's the case, and if you agree that it will hurt dairy farmers, why hasn't Woolworths just refused to match the Coles price cuts on milk?
This is a live issue. We do have a contract, if you will, with the millions of customers we have each week to not be beaten on value. So
you could discount other products, though, to compensate.
Then you'd be accusing me of you know, look, we there are budget-conscious customers who are responsive to the price of milk. And so we do offer a brand of milk at $1 a litre, but plenty of refrigerator space to do what your previous caller suggested, and that is buy a brand. This is a live issue. It is playing out. At the end of the day, I think the solution comes down to customers. And if I have some advice to the farmers, it is to educate the customers. It's customers that made companies introduce fair trade coffee, chocolate and other products. It's customers that encourage farmers to produce free range chicken and eggs. It's customers that encouraged food manufacturers to be able to put the Australian Made logo on and to be seen to be doing the right thing by the environment. And if farmers can make their point, and we're helping in a way by very publicly saying, that we regret this.
Let's see what Jock Laurie thinks about that idea. An education campaign, making consumers more aware that the price they pay at the supermarket can have a flow-on effect to farmers. A good idea?
Look, I think that education campaign is something that needs to be put right across the Australian community in many commodities, not just in milk. And I think it's an understanding that everybody in the supply chain must make a profit. If you've got farmers that don't make a profit, then they'll make decisions to exit the industry or move to something else. So it's quite clear as far as we're concerned that we have got never-ending pressures on our cost of production, and that's generally due to, and in many cases due to, legislation that increases our cost of production. And legislation is introduced because of what customers want, driven through the political system.
Yeah.
But at the other end, we've got pressure coming on about cheaper prices. Now, the fact is that is not sustainable.
Well,
it will not be sustainable in the future, and the Australian community needs to have a good think about whether they want an industry, agricultural industry in Australia, with the diversity that we've got at the moment. And the other point that's really important here is that we in Australia don't have any problems with food security. We export about 60% of our produce, but we most certainly have a responsibility to feed people around the world. And signals that are getting driven in Australia don't necessarily relate to signals that are getting driven in other countries that have to import food to maintain food for their population.
It's important, though, Jock Laurie, to make the point that Coles is claiming that it's the milk processors, the foreign-owned milk processors, who want to cut prices to farmers. Coles says there's actually no excuse at all for the processors to cut the prices paid to farmers, because it's Coles themselves that are absorbing the full cost of this milk discounting. Do you not accept that?
That'll be an argument that Coles and the milk processors will have. What we know is that when we've got people going back into negotiations next time around, if the processors can't sell milk to the retailers at a profit, they will pass that back down to the producers in the paddock. It's as simple as that. And I don't care what argument anybody's using. The fact is that everybody in the supply chain needs to make money. If the processors are getting squeezed by the retailers, then they will apply pressure back. If they can sell into the retailers at a reasonable value, then they'll maintain that value back in their contracts. But when you're reducing or you're cutting the cost of milk in half, then who's going to carry that cost? Are the Coles themselves going to carry that cost? Are the processors going to carry that cost? or will it end up going back down and we see it in contract negotiations at the other end?
Simon,
that's the thing that worries us.
Simon Berger, is Woolworths also absorbing the full cost of this milk discounting?
We are, and Coles are half right when they, well, they're fully right when they say that they're absorbing the cost, but they're only telling half the story, and I'm happy to back Jock up there, because what happens is that you may be absorbing the cost of a cut in, a significant cut in one brand of milk, but that then puts downward pressure on all other brands of milk, and over time, and actually quite rapidly, devalues the whole category of milk. And that's the danger for farmers. That's what they're concerned about. And that's the thing that threatens the viability.
Frank Zumbo, is there any power to restrain unsustainable pricing, if that is indeed what we're seeing, short of actually selling below costs? Because the ACCC is saying that there's no evidence of that in this case.
Well, that's a question that has to be asked and answered. Is Coles selling milk below cost, the home brand milk below cost? If they are selling home brand milk below cost, that raises serious questions under the Birdswell Amendment that prohibits predatory pricing, which I was fortunate enough to draft in relation to our competition laws. So we need to have that question asked. If they are selling below cost, that raises an issue. The real point here is if prices are coming down on milk, they have to be offset somewhere else if Coles and Woolworths are to maintain their profit margins across the supermarket. Now, it's great to hear the sympathy that Woolworths has for the dairy farmers, but the real test will be when Woolworths comes up with their renegotiation of contracts with the milk processors, likewise with Coles.
Okay.
If Coles and Woolworths screw down those milk processors in those negotiations in future, then dairy farmers will suffer. So we need a commitment from Woolworths and Coles that they won't screw down the milk processors and in turn the dairy farmers.
You're on Australia Talks talking about the price discounting war taking place in the supermarkets, particularly around milk, but not just milk. Bread, breakfast cereal. It's suggested that meat might be the next cab off the rank. Your guests today are Jock Laurie from the National Farmers Federation, Frank Zumbo from the University of New South Wales, Simon Berger from Woolworths. Love your thoughts as well on 1300 22 55 76. Looks like a full board at the moment, so you'll need to be pretty patient there, or you can post your comments online. Kathy has, I'm cutting out the supermarkets by getting my basics home delivered. How convenient. Saves time, and time is money. Not only that, it saves farmers and the industry. Let's go to Steve in Parks. Hi, Steve.
G'day, Mr. Barclay.
How are
you? G'day to your listeners, and g'day to your panel. Look, Mr. Barclay, I think there's something far more sinister with this pricing war, and I think what's at the heart of it is the introduction into Australia of these new antitrust laws. And I'd like to read a very brief quote. Antitrust invites a special interest exploitation of the public and successful businesses by legally facilitating the hobbling of competitors. Could your panel comment on that, please?
We'll come to it, Steve. In fact, we've alluded to it with the ACCC, but thanks for the call. I think the point the ACCC was making is that at the moment they have no evidence of uncompetitive practices. Let's go to David in Sydney. Hello, David.
Oh, g'day, folks. G'day, listeners. My view is whenever I hear these supermarkets congratulate themselves that they've been reducing prices for the last year, is to remember that I do the shopping in this house, and I know how expensive it is. Whenever I hear that the prices are coming down, it's just a reminder that they were too high in the past, that we're being charged too much. And then when I further hear the representatives of Coles and Woolworths say that, oh, well, the shoppers can decide, the shopper can choose to go to Aldi or another place, I recall that many people don't have a car, or they're disabled, or they're elderly and trying to live independently, and it's hard for them to carry home the shopping bags, let alone to take public transport to a further or more distant alternative shopping venue. So in my case, in the local Strathfield, some years ago, the Franklins had been bought out by the Woolworths, so there's no longer a local Franklins, but if you've got a car, you could go and visit an Aldi, or you could make more trips and carry a backpack and purchase less each time.
So I suppose the point you're making basically is that this competition benefiting consumers, some consumers can't take advantage of it because they're not as able to get around. Thanks, David. Maggie in Denham in WA. Hi, Maggie.
Hello.
Hi.
I want to speak. When we first came here 40 years ago, we could only get powdered milk or tinned milk. And it was only about 20 years ago, I think, that we started to get fresh milk. Now, I don't want to be in the situation again where we have to buy either powdered, tinned or now this long life.
Yeah.
I like fresh milk. I come from the Channel Islands, Jersey, and brought up on fresh milk. And a few years ago, there was a threat to bring in English milk, but the islanders rejected English milk and stuck with the Jersey, because if English milk had been brought in, our Jersey cows, the gene pool would have been reduced to nothing.
Mm.
You know, we export cows all over the world.
I just want to come. I want to come to that issue, though, that you raise about not having to drink, not having to resort to drink powdered milk, canned milk, or as you say, UHT milk. If I can get you, Jock Laurie, from the National Farmers Federation, to comment on that. This is one of the claims that we've heard, that as a result of this milk price discounting war, that some parts of the population, if the dairy industry contracts, will be left without fresh milk, that there'll be nothing but long-life milk on the shelves. Are you suggesting this is a real possibility?
Well, I think, first of all, having done a little bit of travelling and been drinking those other products, I can tell you there's nothing like fresh milk, and isn't Australia lucky to be able to get that right across the nation. Mm. There's no doubt that when you get pressure applied to an industry, it forces change. And if this is the change that will come out of this, then, you know, the community will then sit back long-term and say, well, was that cheap milk really a benefit to us?
Mm.
While it's good at the moment to be able to go in and buy milk, and we know customers want to be able to buy things at better value all the time, the fact is that it could force change. It certainly could force change to our industry, you know, all depending on the result of the next contract negotiations.
How much of a risk is this? I mean, how much of a risk do you think this price war at the moment really does pose to the dairy sector in terms of it contracting as a result, and at the consumer end, more and more of us actually only being able to buy UHT? Is this a real threat?
Oh, look, it certainly could, but it all depends how it restructures the industry. And it all depends how long the price war goes for, whether they decide to move to another product and attack another product, or whether they're going to stay with milk, home brand milk, and the impact that that'll have on branded milk. It really all depends on the impact that it will have on the branded milk, the impact that it'll have on negotiations, the impact it'll have on the process of negotiations, and through them back down to the dairy farmers' negotiations. Now, if that really forces the hand of some of these dairy farmers to make a decision to get out, or if it forces the hand of some of the processors to make a decision about their way they're going to market their product, then that can happen. But people need to understand that there are ramifications in these fights.
Yep.
Can't have these and just expect nothing to happen.
Thing as a free lunch, I think, is what you're saying, Jock. I'll come get more of a response from you on Australia Talk. So Sandy, by the way, has just posted online, for months now I've watched Coles present new products next to existing products at a few cents less. They also make their packaging with tiny, weeny Coles labels now to disguise their products. More of the original items are leaving the shelves. I'm appalled and never buy a Coles brand. And one question that this price war does raise is whether the heavy discounting of some of the supermarket's own labels, as Sandy has alluded to, the home brands and so on, whether they'll drive more consumers to switch from the branded products. Well, our reporter Karen Zivanovits asked shoppers at one Brisbane supermarket at Toowong for their views, especially on the discounted milk. No, we haven't got that. We will come to that in a second and play you their response. But let me introduce into the discussion Robert Bryant, who's the Australian General Manager of Ibis World, a firm that specialises in industry-based research and analysis. Robert Bryant, welcome to Australia Talks.
Thank you, Paul.
Just on that issue of supermarket-owned brands, the so-called home brands, what share of groceries sold in Australia are now supermarket-owned brands?
Well, it's been very interesting for us to chart over the last decade, and it currently sits at around 25% of groceries in the Australian supermarket industry. And if you go back just 10 years, it was a much smaller portion. So we've seen that climb very rapidly over the last decade.
And this is likely to increase, would you say?
We believe so, and it's really the result of supermarket retail being a very mature industry. So what that means is that the retailers, of course, are looking for opportunities to maintain their margin. So it requires some very careful balancing of their product lines in order to do that. And really this is driven by consumers. And when we look at the numbers behind it, what we've been able to determine is that the percentage of household spend that occurs in supermarkets has increased over the last 25 years. but our portion of spend on food-related goods has actually decreased.
Mm.
So it's an interesting mix here that we can see people are looking for convenience in terms of where they shop, but in terms of the portion that we spend on food, it's actually decreased over the last 20 or 30 years.
Which products are the supermarket brands most successful in?
Well, undoubtedly, and interestingly, very topically, dairy products in the last decade have been one of the high flyers. Up until last year, so before the current pricing competition that's been occurring in milk, milk rose from around 25 to almost 50, just over 50% of all private label represented around just 50% of all milk sold, and the same's been true in a lot of other commodity-based products. So it's products that people feel don't feel such a relationship with in terms of the brand. So your milk and sugar, flour, the staple food products, and then the more recent trend has been the products that where there is more brand value and people have more of a long-term relationship with their brand. So confectionery and ice cream is an example of products that have started to make their way as a significant market share into private label.
So you've been obviously looking in depth at the effect the supermarket brands are having on the market. Would you expect that the current discounting of supermarket brand milk that we're seeing now will drive even more people to those home brands in the longer term?
Well, I think a couple of points that have been raised already tonight relating to customers' values, particularly when it comes to convenience and value and, of course, choice. And I think that it's fair to say that the supermarkets will look for opportunities to continue expanding that offering of private label goods across a broader range of products. And that's really driven by the fact that consumers continue to look for value and choice and convenience as well. So supermarkets can't stop private label goods that don't sell. So the value has to be there and the quality has to be there.
Mm.
But it does present some difficult issues in relation to the existing branded products and, of course, the relationships, as we've heard tonight, through the supply chain.
Yes. So I suppose the question is, the home brands, will it drive more consumers to switch from the branded products? Karen Zivanovits, as I mentioned a moment ago, spoke to shoppers at one Brisbane supermarket in Toowong for their views on discounted milk.
It's kind of they're going too far because it's harming the producers because they're not getting the value for their goods.
I think it's important to buy from independent grocers as well, supporting local businesses in a time of need. So I usually buy my milk from our local corner store.
Would you be tempted to buy at the supermarkets because of the price?
Yeah, I am a lot tempted to go to major chains, supermarkets.
It's good for the consumers, but we have to take into account what's happening to the producers as well.
I buy organic milk from Coles at about $2.80. I'm purposely buying it, not to support the falling prices.
We're not tempted to swap to home brands because of price. Our choice of milk is driven by taste.
It's half the price. So earlier I used to buy, say, a brand name, but now it's only $2, so I buy the home brand now.
Oh, I don't think it'll be good in the long run. The small chains that are going to lose business, you know, all they're doing is trying to put people out of business.
So where do you buy your milk? Do you go to a milk bar or to a supermarket?
Normally to the supermarket. Everything's so expensive these days, as you know, so you've got to sort of save money where you can.
Thanks to Australia Talks producer Karen Zivanovits for that. Frank Zumbo, do the predictions of an increased take-up of home brands worry you?
Oh, absolutely, it worries me. We will see less branded milk on the shelf. That will slowly disappear or become a very expensive luxury item. It also spells the end for some of those other value-added products. And what consumers need to remember is that that home brand milk may be of a lesser quality. We do not know whether it's exactly the same milk. And one of the speakers there indicated that taste is a factor. And having tasted all these types of milk myself, I can tell you that to me, the home brand milk appears to be of a lesser quality.
Simon Berger, is that true, that the home brand milk is of a lesser quality?
It depends on the customer. And that's thank you for the feedback, Professor Zumbo.
Pleasure, sir.
But, you know, to some customers, milk's milk. To others, there's, you know, they notice the subtle differences. Some like to support a local brand, as one of your callers mentioned earlier.
So it's not identical, is what you're saying, to what's in the branded milk containers?
It's not identical, but when there is a dollar a litre offer, I suppose that is pretty compelling for a lot of people. And as was mentioned, it was about a 50-50 split between a private label, that is Woolworths brand and home brand in milk versus other brands. It's shifting a bit since the price war, I will say, and I've articulated my concerns.
Yes, yes. But on home brands
from
generally,
point of view.
Your response to the view that home brands generally will lead to a smaller range of choice for consumers. Do you
not
reject
at all.
That?
No, they enhance choice. In our supermarkets, home brands are a bit over 10% of the sales. The biggest one is home brand, which is at the budget end. That's been around since I was a kid. And g'day to my extremely budget-conscious mum and dad who brought me up on the stuff.
They're not squeezing other products off the shelves?
That category has not grown in the last decade, to be honest. It's been well established. It's got its... It does very well amongst commodity type items, as was mentioned, the sort of sugar, the flour, that type of thing. Our Woolworths Select brand and our Macro brand, which has brought healthier food, organic, gluten-free, those type of choices to a mainstream market and made them affordable, and that's a good thing for customers. Those things are growing a bit more, and those things add choice for customers. We can't always do better than a brand, but where we can, we give it a go. And that adds choice, and it provides competition for some of these extremely large food manufacturers, some of whom are a lot bigger and more profitable than Woolies, and provides competition there, and I don't see the problem. But I cannot foresee a situation where a supermarket will be bereft of brands. I'm telling you one thing now. I want my Pepsi Max. I want my barbecue shapes. I want my Sultana brand. But once you've gone to Woolworths Select Lollies, you can't go back. They're a party for the palate.
Okay, all right. We'll take some calls too in just a moment. So if you're waiting on the line, please be patient. We'll take a whole whack of them in just a sec. Jock Laurie from National Farmers Federation. What impact would it have on farmers if more shoppers did go with the supermarket brands?
It just gets back to what I was saying before. It's all about competition. It all depends where they're priced at. I mean, if you continue with the pricing you've got now, and they go to the house brand, then obviously that's going to apply more and more pressure. Well, if you've got more people buying a branded product at a higher price, and they're prepared to get in to support that for whatever reason, hopefully you can hold off the demise to a certain extent. But choices obviously are a very important part for shoppers in Australia, and there are many people who can afford to go and buy the food they want to buy, and they're prepared to stand on that principle, and there are many people who want to go and buy the cheapest product they possibly can. Mm. So you can understand the difficulties for the consumers, but all we're trying to say is that if you have a look at the other end, there's also difficulties and pressures being applied to the farming sector.
Robert Bryant from Ibis World, just a final question to you before I let you go. The supermarkets don't just have one home brand, they have several. Some are pitched at the bottom of the market, some are pitched at the premium end. Some look a lot like, actually, the familiar branded products. What impact is this having?
Well, it's been very interesting just to observe some of the trends over the last decade, as I said before, and really Aldi introduced some competition with when they came into the market in 2001, and before that, if you look across overseas to North America and particularly the UK, we've seen tiered private label, as we refer to it, for some time, and it commands a large portion in some supermarkets in the UK. It's as much as 60% of their revenue is through that private label, through various tiers, starting at the base level and coming up through to premium. So it's certainly evident in providing choice for consumers and providing value, but it certainly suggests that there's an opportunity for supermarkets to command a greater share through private label by introducing tiered brands.
Yep. Good to talk to you. Robert Bryant is the Australian General Manager of Ibis World. Thanks also very much to Jock Laurie, the President of the National Farmers Federation. What's your view? Have you switched to some of these home brands, supermarket-owned brands? If so, why? Is the quality as good? 1300 22 55 76. Best, though, to post on our website, I would say. And you can continue the discussion after this program wraps as well. Your thoughts? Gabby has posted, the big two are now selling, well, newspapers, pharmaceuticals and meat. Where will it all end? Let's go to Patricia on the Gold Coast. Hello, Patricia.
Hello, Paul. Yes, well, your Simon from Woolworths is not convincing me at all. I feel a little sympathy for him. I think he's been tossed in at the deep end. He didn't convince me at all that Woolworths is doing the right thing. what I want to know from Coles or Woolworths is why don't we know what the farmers are actually getting for this dollar milk? And is it the same quality? They're questions that have not been answered. And I really am a very, very tired of consumers being blamed. He was saying that, you know, it's up to consumers. Well, when they've got 80% of the, or 70% of the market value, and people have a lot less time these days, it's not fair to be blaming consumers. And consumers are blamed for all sorts of things that, you know, they don't care about the environment and all sorts of other things. And to say that when they're forced with a large family to go and do these things, what can they do? But I want to know what the farmers are getting, and I want to know if it's the same quality.
Let's
and
quick,
neither
well,
Coles or Woolworths have said that.
I think Simon Berger has actually conceded that the quality of the home brand milk is perhaps not quite as good, and I think he's also.
I didn't say that, Professor Zumbo.
All right, Simon.
I better not put
words in your mouth. If you could address both points, then is the quality as good, and are farmers getting the full price for it, Simon Berger?
Oh well, just in terms of the farmer issues, there is a full parliamentary inquiry at the moment that. Is we'll look at this issue very closely, and we certainly welcome the scrutiny.
So you can't guarantee, is what you're saying, that Woolworths is paying the farmers the full price for that milk?
We don't pay farmers, we pay processors. All milk comes from the farm gate to processors, and we deal with the processors. It has to be processed for safety and for consistency reasons, and that's one of the things that complicates this issue a little bit.
Yeah.
Just can I just pick up
very
briefly?
I want to take
point.
Some more calls. So yeah, briefly if you can, Simon.
Well, I don't never blame customers. I have a lot of faith in customers, and we are only successful because of the support of customers and delivering what they want. And on the issue of milk, I get back to the point that if farmers were to appeal to customers, the same customers who demanded fair trade chocolate and coffee will demand fair go milk.
Okay,
and
so
I think that's the solution to this problem.
More power to the consumer. Okay, thanks. Let's go to Patricia in Newcastle. Hi, Patricia.
Hello.
Hi there.
Oh, thank you for having me, Paul. I've got a series of points to make. First one, I don't think this has been mentioned, and I'd like verification on this. Coles brought in a management team from the UK, if I understand, to ramp up Coles. Wesfarmers brought them in, rather. Now they're introducing what they did in the UK to the supermarket industry to Australia. I think that is correct. Secondly, they're going to force the price down, and Woolworths joined in this war with them. So in effect, Woolworths is engaging in a kind of collusion. So the two supermarkets can force down price.
Mm.
Once they force this down, then they go to the farmers. Your previous speaker said that they go to the middlemen to negotiate with the farmers.
The processors. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The processors come and say, we can't get this because we can't get a decent price for you. You know, this is what we have to do with the supermarkets. So they force the farmers down.
That's precisely what we've been talking about, Patricia, and that is precisely the risk. Whether it's actually happening, though, is what's open for debate. I'm going to leave it there. Just very quickly, Patricia, because I'm out of time.
What happened in the UK, and we're all standing by while it actually happens. Now, you can negotiate or you can talk about this as much as you like, but the farmers have the responsibility, I think, now to let everyone know what's happening.
Okay, thanks, Patricia. And quickly, Steve in Orange.
There you going?
Good.
I just wanted to reflect on what Simon Berger said earlier in the program about reducing the prices and customers are getting $684 million extra in value in the groceries. Well, I just dispute that. They've been putting up prices, Woolworths, and I'm a long-time shopper at Woolworths for the last 5 to 8 years, way above CPI. And then they've hit a price war with Coles and Aldi's. They've had to, and also Harris Farm, and they've had to bring their prices down accordingly to be competitive again, to bring back some of their customer base. So, look, I don't mind Woolworths making a dollar, but please don't pretend for a minute that you guys are doing it for the customer, because that's simply not true.
Okay, thanks, Steve. And Al has posted online in response, in fact, to an earlier post from Steve about farmers' markets that, perhaps there's no middleman at farmers' markets, but in my experience, they are not cheap. On top of that, one has to spend more than a dollar or two to get there and back. Thanks, Al. If we can wrap up with Frank Zumbo and Simon Berger, perhaps I'll come to you, Simon Berger. First of all, earlier on, Frank Zumbo told us that Woolworths is not at the moment showing its prices online, and so we don't have, as consumers, full transparency. Shouldn't consumers be able to compare prices online and decide where to shop?
Absolutely. We want customers to feel trust and to know that they can go to any Woolworths, anywhere in the country, any day of the week, and depend on good value. We are currently undergoing what's probably the biggest IT project in Australia at the moment, and that is our merchandising system. And so while we're going from one to the other, we cannot maintain that function, but it will be back up there, mark my words, because probably a couple of months, Professor Zumbo. We were the first, but in the meantime, no other supermarket has taken that step. The government did try a grocery watch website, and that didn't work out for various reasons, but we fully support our transparency. And,
Frank Zumbo, what could or should be done, Frank Zumbo, to improve price transparency for consumers in the wake of, as we've said, the grocery price monitoring website that really didn't get off the ground?
Basically, if Simon and Coles are committed to full price transparency, once they finish their IT review, then they should be able to publish all their prices for every store and every product online for consumers' benefit. We have some of the weakest competition laws in the world. We have some of the highest food inflation in the developed world, and that's a result of the dominance of Coles and Woolworths.
Choices, in fact, called for a supermarket industry ombudsman, someone to hear complaints about fairness and competition in the sector. Frank Zumbo, what do you think of that idea?
Oh, look, I agree. I actually think we need to go further. We need an Australian Small Business and Farming Commissioner, because the issues we're seeing in the dairy farming applies to other sectors that apply to Coles and Woolworths. So we need a Small Business and Farming Commissioner that deals with these issues across the full supermarket range and across the whole supply chain.
And Simon Berger, what can consumers expect now in coming weeks? Will there be more discounted lines? And how long do you expect that we'll be able to buy milk for a dollar a litre?
It's illegal for me to signal prices, but we've been a part of the Australian landscape for 87 years, and we want to be going into the future, well into the future. And that means we can only be successful if we deliver for customers. There had been a period of food inflation because there were cost pressures related to the drought and global shortages and things, but food over the last decade or so has not increased at the same rate as wages. It has not increased at the same rate as, to be frank, anything that the government provides or regulates or taxes. We are focused on delivering value as well as convenience, range, quality, good service. And I'll just finish up by making a point to Professor Zumbo and others who advocate a sort of radical solution to the supermarket sector by quoting the ACCC, who wrote a 670-page report on this very issue 2 years ago. They said that before advocating any particular approach to improving the retail market, it's important to note that the competitive process produced the current market structure. Mm. Woolworths and Coles market shares are the product of millions of customers preferring their offerings over a host of other independent and chain stores.
I'll leave it there. I am out of time. Sorry, Frank Zumbo. Thanks for your time, both of you. Frank Zumbo, the Associate Professor in Business Law at the University of New South Wales. Simon Berger, Community Relations Manager with Woolies. Earlier on, you heard from Jock Laurie from the National Farmers Federation and Robert Bryant from Ibis World. The debate will continue on our website. Just search ABC Australia Talks. You can post your views. Keep the discussion going online. You can also contribute your thoughts to tomorrow's discussion that we're having, a nuclear emergency underway in earthquake-hit Japan. How dangerous is the situation? Does it kill off any further debate about nuclear power in Australia? Make sure you post your comment. Make sure you listen in to Australia Talks tomorrow. Stick around on Radio National for more great listening. Late Night Live after 10 with Philip Adams has Christian Kerr on federal politics, an update on Japan and more. I'm Paul Barclay. I'll speak to you again tomorrow.
Hold up. Hello, Monica Attard here, and on Sunday Profile, Jill Duggan, the European Union's expert on carbon pricing, joins me to talk about Australia's plan for a carbon tax and what we can learn from the European experience. Europe, of course, has had an emissions trading scheme for 6 years, and business not only wanted it, they liked it. Next step, expanding the system to include other greenhouse gases. And you can hear the full interview with Jill Duggan by going to the Radio National website.